Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, December 8th. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and of course with me today, producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir?
Good. We're live in studio this week
and
after taking a little break.
That's right. Yeah, well, you know, everybody deserves a break.
Of course.
For the holidays. And I do quite a large Thanksgiving. I have a lot of family come in from out of town. It's like a whole week affair for me. It's not a one-day thing. It's like they roll in starting the Monday before, and they don't roll out till the Monday after, and it's crazy. So I needed that day off.
Yeah, we had 20 people this year, and most of them didn't stay overnight. Because most of them live in different parts of Georgia.
So they drive in.
And we had just a giant gathering on, I guess it was a week and a half ago.
Now, I need you to put on your sports reporter hat for a minute, because I know you're very happy with Auburn. So, you know, give the Auburn update, because I want you to get that out of your
system. Okay, in case any of you business fans are interested, Auburn is going, likely, I can't see any possible scenario, Auburn is going to the national championship game against Florida State as a result of their win over Michigan State's upset victory over Ohio State, who had the inside track prior to that game.
All right. So for the, I did not go to Auburn, but just because Mike Roy is here, I'll throw out a War Eagle.
There you go. You got it right.
See? One of my girlfriends a while ago was an Auburn graduate, so I learned that from her. And I know nothing about college sports. I hate to admit it. I just wasn't into it. I actually was a cheerleader in high school and college for the first year or two, but like at schools where sports weren't all that important. So moving on. It's that time of year where, we're back at work. Most people are back at work doing their thing. Because most of people aren't lucky enough to be able to take off the whole month, right? So, you know, students are...
If only.
Right, exactly, right? So students are back in school doing their finals, you know, getting ready for Christmas break. And everybody, you know, all of us working folks are back at our offices working, getting ready for Christmas too. But it sort of feels like everybody's a little bit on vacation already, because you're sort of like mentally on vacation. You're recovering from Thanksgiving. You're thinking about all the Christmas gifts and Hanukkah gifts and holiday gifts you got to go out there and buy. The malls are open late. The traffic is crazy. It's a different time of year, for sure. And it also sort of brings to mind sort of endings and new beginnings and all kinds of things. So first of all, on that note, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention Nelson Mandela a little bit. Of course, anybody who is alive couldn't have missed that he passed away this week. And, you know, of course, he was 95, and it was expected he had been in poor health. But he was an incredible leader, and he did something... with his ability to sort of, you know, all the news reports that I've been watching were saying that he was internally sort of angry and bitter about having been in prison for 27 years and all of that. But he somehow managed to overcome that and bring people together, even his jailers, right? And, you know, I just wish that we could take a little bit of that spirit of togetherness and apply it to American politics. I'm just saying. I don't want to go down that road too far, because this is not a political show. But I get so aggravated, I've talked about it before on this show, with all the yelling and screaming and all the team picking, you know, I'm on the left, I'm on the right, and automatically I think you're wrong, and we're all yelling at each other. We can't come together over stuff that should be simple. And he brought people together over stuff that was really difficult. So anyway, he will be missed. And, you know, of course, his life and legacy are being celebrated all around the world and will continue to be, I'm sure. So also talking about sort of... new beginnings. We have a clip this week from our Gwinnett studio, and this is kind of a little bit of a different thing than we usually do, because Mike Salmond, who runs our Gwinnett studio, is busily building that studio, but adding new shows to the lineup, and they've got a new show that's going to be launching in January, and it's going to be called Testing the Experts. So it's kind of on the medical side of things. And it's going to be sponsored by a company called Confirmatrix Laboratory. And so they'll be kind of bringing in doctors and experts and talking about all things sort of medical testing and just medical in general, I believe. And that show will be launching Friday, January 10th. But meanwhile, Mike went over to the Confirmatrix Laboratory ribbon cutting for their new office in Gwinnett and talked a little bit to their CEO, Wes Warrington. So take a listen to this.
Wes, congratulations on the success and the growth of Confirmatrix Laboratory over the last year. I've been watching you all morning, and you're grinning from ear to ear. What does this day mean for you?
Mike, it's a culmination of a lot of hard work and a lot of time and a lot of dedication by a number of people. It's the employees for this company that have gone above and beyond in every situation, from the guys that clean the parking lot all the way to the top of the organization. It's truly a wonderful gift and a joyous day for our company and the employees and their families.
The Chamber, of course, is out here supporting the ribbon cutting and so forth. And they talked about a year ago when you were first getting off the ground, the growth. Did you ever see the company growing as quickly and as successfully over the first year as it has?
That's kind of funny. We had a business plan that we started with that projected this growth. But with any business, you always expect to come in a little lower than the pipe dream. Truly, the dream, the business plan that we laid out from the beginning with no hurdles, no obstacles, has come to fruition. So we're truly blessed. We've run our operation very effectively. We've done right by our customers, and it's paying off for us.
Finally, Wes, just talk about your decision to have your company based here in Gwinnett County and what Gwinnett County offers for Confirmatrix Lab. And for those people that are not familiar with your company, quick overview of what your company does.
Confirmatrix Laboratories does a variety of drug testing laboratory services, anything from urine drug testing to oral swab testing in the clinical setting with physicians, in drug and alcohol treatment, wherever there's drug testing to be done, we provide that service. The selection of Gwinnett County, first of all, great location. Gwinnett County is a wonderful place to be. It's all the amenities without some of the traffic and some of the other obstacles that you may face in other areas. In addition, the talent pool in this area, the employees that we were able to capture who live near the lab, is phenomenal. The Chamber of Commerce has been wonderful for us. This event today was well attended. It seemed like over 100-150 people here from the local community come out to support our organization or our ribbon cutting. So Gwinnett County's been very good to us.
All right. Again, that was Wes Warrington from Confirmatrix Laboratory being interviewed by our own Mike Salmond. And again, that show, Testing the Experts, will kick off on BusinessRadioX.com at the Gwinnett studio Friday, January 10th. So if you're kind of interested in the medical industry and want to hear some more about all the stuff going on in the world of medicine, you'll want to check that out. Okay. So also, you know, I want to follow up on some things because I swear, not being here for 1 week, I feel like it's been months. I went to, you know, do my prep this morning before the show. And I mean, Mike can testify to this. There's so much paper on my side of the room right now. It looks like I wallpapered the desk. And there's just so many stories that I feel like I missed a week and I got to catch you up on everything. And so, first of all, I want to jump back a couple weeks ago in our minds to the whole Braves thing, which I think people are still talking about. Maybe you're a little distracted now talking about Christmas and plans for the holidays and whatever. But there's a story that I found that was kind of interesting. You know, there's, first of all, it's going forward as far as I know. Whatever referendums and things that needed to be passed and whatever, the Braves moving to Cobb County is happening. But there was a story in the, I think it was in the Atlanta Business Chronicle about some of the new development that's going to take place around the new stadium. And one of the guys, of course, I have all this paper in front of me and I can't put my fingers on the one story that I'm looking for. But, oh, here it is.
You need an assistant.
I really do. It's just embarrassing. And also, I need to stop doing all this on paper. I need to figure out a way to, like, use my iPad to do this. But I am not there yet. I'm showing my age here. But anyway, because I don't trust the technology. I'm sure that I'll come in here and I'll be everything on technology. And then, like, my battery will die. And then I'll have to do a whole show with no notes, which I don't know if I could do. Anyway, so this guy, Mason Zimmerman, who is the vice president of a development firm that's planning a large mixed-use development next to the new stadium site, says it's a coincidence that the project popped up on a county agenda after the Braves announced their move. So basically what he's saying is that there's no correlation between the fact that his company and another or several other companies will all of a sudden be investing hundreds of millions of dollars to put mixed-use condos, townhouses, restaurants, whatever, developments right around where this new stadium's going. And can I... Thank you. And can I just say, really? Does anyone believe that? Like, I'm sorry. I'm not, I am usually the most naive and trusting person, and I always want to believe that people are honest, but I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. Not buying it. I think there was, and also, by the way, that guy that I just quoted, Mason Zimmerman, whose name is almost as good as Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, you want to say it. Any excuse to say his name.
I got
to
tell you about that. But anyway, yeah, Mason Zimmerman, he needs a couple more syllables to really make the list of great
names.
You're
just going to start looking up people with unusual names. It doesn't even matter what they did.
Right.
Just an excuse to use Benedict Cumberbatch.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. But anyway, so he is out, he also happens to be on the board that governs the Cumberland Community Improvement District, the Cumberland CID, it's called. So he's in the know. I'm not really buying that he didn't know anything and they just happened to want to build right there coincidentally. I don't buy it. However, there is a lot of progress in Atlanta. There are a lot of new things happening. You can probably see some of them with your own eyes as you drive around. Of course, we all know that the toll booth is no longer collecting tolls. And so it's narrowed back down.
I love it. I'm sorry.
Mike is like,
I know there are cons, but I don't see him as a person who never has any change.
Listen, I'm all for it. I got over my complaints. I'm over it. And I breezed through it the other day for the first time without a toll, and it was very joyous and happy.
Well, I've heard it's kind of a mess right now. Just it's confusing. I haven't driven over it just yet, but I've heard it's kind of like the old express, whatever the far left side is,
yeah,
is the only open lanes.
Right, the cruise lanes.
The cruise lanes, there you go.
Yeah, are still open, plus I think one additional lane. So there are three lanes open now on the left. And what all that stuff that was on the right is basically closed off. You can see it, but you're not allowed to go over there. And so it's supposed to really improve traffic. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that is, you know, with the economy coming back as it is, and with some of these changes, Buckhead is really standing in a good stead for new development, new business coming in, new residential, everything, because which having a lot to do with the fact that the toll is gone, for one. And then they're also going to be doing some other Georgia 400 projects, one of which is, you know how you get off right there at the Buckhead Loop? Anybody who's ever come into Buckhead or lives around Buckhead has seen that. They're going to actually improve that exit, making it look better, and also I think maybe operate a little bit better. And because they say, you know, if you're coming into, for most people are coming in to Buckhead from the north side of town, that's sort of your, or really from both directions, I think that's sort of your intro into Buckhead, is that highway crossing, and it's not so beautiful. So they're going to work on beautifying that, and of course the tolls are gone now. And also, if you've driven into downtown anytime recently, there's been a ton of construction as they build those new ramps, which are going to allow you to get, I think it is, from 400 south onto 85 north instead of having to get out and be on the surface streets. And so that all those three things are really going to land Buckhead in a good place. Between that and then this new construction that's finally kicking up again here in the heart of Buckhead, with all the retail coming in and finally the cranes are moving again and all that stuff, it's going to be interesting to see what our landscape here in Buckhead looks like in another year to 2 years. So keep your eyes out for that. We have a lot more to talk about on the show, a lot more stories that we missed over the last couple of weeks, new things coming to Atlanta, controversies, clips. We got it all. Soapbox. It's all coming up, so stay with us. We'll be right back. We are back, and this is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm still Dana Barrett. Mike Roy has lots of sound effects today. Love it. You can always call us here in the studio. We are live, so call us, 404-231-1190. I know you're probably like sweeping out the garage or raking the leaves or driving back from church or whatever it is, but we would love to hear from you, 404-231-1190. And frankly, you can call us about anything. You want to talk about, you know, your Thanksgiving and how it was? I got to tell you the story. Before the break, we mentioned my favorite actor, Benedict Cumberbatch, and you know how much I love saying his name. So somehow I managed to get, like, the entire family saying
it. I'm sure he'll be sponsoring our show before you know, with all these plugs you're giving him for his name.
Do you remember 2 weeks ago I had a clip from Business Radio X by Dr. Labrida Cashbasket, which was how I used that as an excuse to sort of talk about Benedict Cumberbatch again because her name was so awesome. And so at Thanksgiving, I managed to get everybody saying Dr. Labrida Cashbasket and Benedict Cumberbatch. And we, in fact, were Googling and figuring out that Engelbert Humperdinck was not originally, like, that wasn't his name originally.
No, he's a musician, too, so.
Yeah, his original name was, like, really boring, and he changed it to that, so. Anyway, yeah, I had the whole family talking about it. It was so delightful. I really wish I had videotaped it, because it really would have been one for the YouTube annals. Anyway, I want to focus a little bit on technology in this sector, because, in this sector? What am I talking about? I need some more coffee in this section of the show prior to the next commercial break. That's what I'm getting at, because I do have a clip that we're going to air from our Results Matter show on businessradiox.com, which is going to be sort of a little bit vaguely related to technology. So I'm segueing up to it gracefully, as you can see, with a story about Applebee's and Chili's both planning to install tablets at tables. And I want to know, I would love to hear what you have to say about this, what you think about it. You can certainly tweet us, use the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. Are you for it or are you against it? So, you know, basically what they're saying is they're going to take a little bit of the human element out of the ordering process. And you are going to have a tablet at your table and the menu will be on there and you'll be able to select what you want on the tablet and the order will go back into the kitchen. And of course, there'll still be servers that bring the food to you, but you'll also get to pay the bill that way on the tablet. It'll have a credit card reader on it, and you'll be able to. Now, if you want to pay cash, I think you're screwed. But if you're using a credit card, you can just whoop, and that's my sound effect, and pay your bill. And so, you know, I am of two minds on this, because, like, here's an example. Do you remember, now, this is pretty standard at a lot of fast food places now, but when you go through the drive-thru, they now have that signboard, you know, you call your order into the box. And it used to be like there were just people on the other end and you never knew if they could really hear you, because you certainly couldn't hear that. They sounded like wah, 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 right? So you're going, I want a cheeseburger, but no onions on, like, and then extra, whatever. And you never knew if they were really going to get it right. And I cannot tell you the number of times I drove away from the drive-thru back in the day where and something was wrong with my order. And then they installed those screens. So as they were typing your order into the computer, you could see your order. Well, that really improved the process as far as I was concerned. So I'm all for technology improving a process. But I wonder about this. I mean, first of all, you're not going to ever see tablets at a fine dining establishment, right? People want a high level of service. But, you know, Applebee's and Chili's are a little bit more casual, you know. And I will say that one of my biggest pet peeves, I could do a whole soapbox, I think, on this, but I can't stand when I've had a really nice meal, or even a regular meal, but I've had good service from my waiter basically the entire evening. They've come over, they've been friendly, they've laughed at my jokes, which is very important. And but then I'm done and they never come back with the bill. Haven't you experienced that? You know, you're sitting there and you're like, okay, that was great. But now it's like, I'm sitting here 20 minutes where I want the bill. And then they take your credit card and disappear for another 20 minutes. And you're like, dude, really? I want to go.
Yeah, sometimes they can't finish it, but also it can have to do with unruly customers, which
somewhere
they
else.
Have somewhere else.
Sure.
They just can't get rid of.
Sure, but... So
not necessarily defending that, but I'm just saying.
It happens. It's one of those things I think that happens sort of regularly. Servers sort of, like, they're all about it, and then when you're sort of done, they forget about you. It's just, I think it's just sort of one of those things that happens. But, and of course, having a tablet there will rectify that situation, right? But I don't know. It just feels like it's lowering the Applebee's Chili's experience to more of a fast food experience ordering on a tablet. I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. There used to be a restaurant, I don't remember what it was called. I don't know if it still exists, but there used to be a restaurant that tried something like this. It was a pizza place. I remember there used to be one out in Cobb County somewhere. I remember trying it many, many years ago, where you ordered through a computer screen at the table. And it was fun the first time. It was kind of like, oh, this is fun and cool. But it was also sort of like, meh, I don't know. So I'm of two minds. Love to hear your thoughts. Feel free to tweet us using the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio, or call us 404-231-1190. And you know what? Even if we've moved on to another topic by the time you call in, we'll come back. We'll circle around. We're very sophisticated here. We can do all that. We can multitask, all of that. All right. So
we
let's
can do it all.
We can do it all. That's right. We are awesome here in the studio. And we love to congratulate ourselves, too. So I want to share this clip with you from our Results Matter show. Now, this week, Lee and Stone, the hosts, had on some winners of this year's Women of the Year in Technology Awards. And it's put on by an organization called WIT, W-I-T, which is Women in Technology. But this clip is not super technology related. it's just kind of funny, and I kind of love this. It's Sandy Hoffman is talking about a little subset of women in technology, which is their book club, and it's called the Biblio Babes. So take a listen to this clip.
So I want to hear about this Biblio Babes.
Biblio Babes.
what a cool title.
Well, I have no problem confessing that I am a biblioholic. I am unable to pass a bookstore. I have to ration myself to only carry out to only buy what I can carry, which is actually very limited for somebody 5'1". but it occurred to me that all of us struggle to allocate time for things like reading. And so I gathered together a number of women who were interested in reading business books, but we really needed the peer pressure to keep us on track. And so I started Biblio Babes through the WIT organization 4 years ago now. And we meet every month on Sunday at 3 p.m. at my home. The groups range from 8 people to 40. The book topics are all business. They are not unique. They aren't gender-specific business books. But they're what's hitting the bestseller list. What do all of us want to make time for? What's really special, I think, about the book club is you don't have to read the book. We make sure that we always have a discussion leader who comes in who has read the book, and who can talk to us about what the message was, what are the takeaways, so that we can prop the book up on our desk in the office and have people ask us questions and actually appear intelligent.
All right, I love that clip for a few reasons. First of all, the whole thing is about, first of all, I just love the idea that there's a book club where they read business books. Because I belong to several different organizations, and I've asked people on occasion if they would be interested in discussing business books, and they all sort of go like, not really. But I love, the best part is that you don't have to read the book. That's like a technology improvement right there, a book club where you don't have to read the book. Now, I know at my other book club, sometimes that happens, you know, by accident. People don't get around to it. They don't have time. But they feel a little bit guilty, at least, for not having read the book. In this one, you don't have to read the book. So I just love that. And also, you know, it just kind of lets you know that this group, Women in Technology, is out there. They're doing some really cool things. And it's not just a group where you go have meetings about technology. They're reading business books. They're sort of, you know, networking and doing all kinds of things. If you want more information on that, you can go to the mywit.org website and look for the Biblio Babes link under Manage Your Career. That's one of the menus on the website. If you want to hear the rest of the interview, which is great, it's with all the Women in Technology winners from this year's awards, you can just go over to resultsmatter.businessradiox.com. And then the last reason why I really was digging that clip is because I was envisioning like a new group, a new musical group called Benedict Cumberbatch and the Biblio Babes. Come on! Come on! Does that not have a ring to it? I'm just saying. Okay. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, things happening around town, new beginnings and all of that kind of stuff. And I know we're almost up against the break again, but I do want to say also, we talked about the Buckhead area, that the Perimeter Center area is also looking like it's going to really be really developed a lot over the next year or so. State Farm's already announced that they're coming into that area and opening a brand new operations center. It's one of the largest corporate office projects we've had in that region's history. They have 17 acres at the intersection of Perimeter Center Parkway and Hammond Drive, if you can picture it, kind of by that Dunwoody MARTA station. And there's going to be a lot of new, not just what they're doing, but a lot of new development coming in and around that. And what they're saying is they're going to look to sort of turn that area from feeling very suburban to more urban. They're going to try to find ways to make it more walkable. It should be interesting. I worry about the traffic. Because that area is already pretty trafficy, especially around Christmas, man. If you try to go up to Perimeter Mall, I mean, I know Lenox is like that too. This whole little Buckhead area around Lenox and Phipps gets crazy. But that Perimeter Center area gets pretty crazy too. So, whoopsie-daisy. We played a little bit of the clip and our music.
Even engineers like myself make occasional mistakes.
Tiny little mistake. No big deal. All right. Well, we are going to take a break as you ponder the...
The mouse was in the wrong place. It's just a second too low.
As you ponder the traffic in the Perimeter Center area, and Mike Roy feels bad about his mistake, but we will have more on all kinds of stuff coming up right after this, so stay with us. We are back. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. You can always call us here in the studio because we're live. So call us, 404.
And we'll answer them. That proves we're live.
That's right. We will answer the phone, but we have to give you the number. It's 404-231-1190.
Yeah, don't just dial any number in there. You probably won't get us.
Right. 404-231-1190. You can tweet us, hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio. And, you know, I've been jumping around a lot today because there's just so much that I was catching up on over the last 2 weeks. And even though it's sort of like a quiet time of year in a weird way for businesses, somehow there does seem to be a lot of stories to talk about. One of them, and I don't mean to always focus on Buckhead, but this one just caught my eye. If you're familiar with the Miami Circle area, it's sort of been traditionally known as kind of a place to go for household stuff, furniture, tile, appliances. That's kind of what's on that strip. There are some other businesses in there. I think there's like a ballroom dance studio, and there's a restaurant way in the back where there used to be. So there's some other stuff, but it's sort of a pleasant little strip in sort of, let's say, South Buckhead, kind of close to Lindbergh. And that's sort of what it's known for. But now there's a company coming in to put in a place called the Painted Pin, which is a bowling alley / entertainment center, really aimed more at adults in the sense that it's meant to be like a bar, restaurant, bowling alley, like hip, fun place to go hang out. So it's a bowling alley, but not really aimed at kids is what I'm getting at. Now, the issue with this, I actually think it sounds like a relatively cool concept, and I think the people that are putting it together seem like they know what they're doing and all of that. But the issue has come up. The reason this is making headlines is because they've gotten a special permit to have less parking than is normally required. So basically the deal is that they're only wanting to put in, and I think it's because of the space, something like 45 parking spaces for a place that can fit 140 people in there. And the other merchants in Miami Circle are, to say it politely or not, kind of pissed. And I can't blame them, honestly, because it sounds like a little bit of a nightmare from a parking standpoint. And there's nothing I hate more, honestly, than trying to go somewhere and not being able to park. It's really frustrating. And I will actually make decisions sometimes on how difficult or how easy it is to park. Anyway, this permit has happened. It's passed. But there is, if you want to read more about it, I think it's kind of interesting. And I wonder how the government thinks these things are a good idea. I guess they think the tax revenue that's going to come in from this place is going to be worth it. I do wonder about that. But they have the merchants have put together this website against it. And I'm just going to share it with you because it's no-pp.com, which stands for Painted Pin. Now, I will say this again, the people putting it together, the guy that's kind of running this whole thing is the GM and wine director from the Spence, which is a very well-respected restaurant here. His name is Justin Amick. And like I said, I'm sure it'll be a really nice place, but I'm with the merchants there in that I think there's some concern about not having enough parking and what it's going to do to the rest of that area. I mean, hopefully most of the traffic for that place will be late night. And if that's the case, it really won't affect those other merchants because they're closed anyway. They usually close 5 or 6 p.m. So maybe not a big deal. I don't know. But, you know, it makes me just sort of think about those kind of rules and ways that government can sort of hurt or help you as you move forward in a small business. Sometimes the rules make it really difficult to get what you want done, but then some people seem to be able to get the rules changed for them, and you just wonder, like, whose palm are they greasing? You know, like this whole thing about the Braves Stadium and these companies seeming to know that it's a good time to go build right next door before anybody else knows. I mean, you just sort of wonder what's going on. My my naivete is wearing off a little bit. So I'm starting to become bitter. I'm starting to become embittered and all of that. But anyway, I have a great clip from, and I shouldn't say this now because the next clip that's coming up is actually from a show that I did earlier in the week. So I don't want to, like, you know, toot my own horn too much. But I had a new company that they're doing a soft launch right now. And they'll sort of be going a little bit more full steam ahead in 2014. And it's called AtlantaHollywood.com. And what they're doing is not really, they're not a casting agency or an agent or anything like that. But what they're trying to do is help entertainers, whether it be musicians, actors, models, anybody in the entertainment industry, get some PR, get some attention from a digital marketing standpoint, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, and sort of build a fan base. And it's kind of interesting. So I had Kelly Saroy, who is heading up this new company, AtlantaHollywood.com. And in this clip, she's talking about sort of the importance of getting real interaction versus just likes and hits and stuff. So take a listen to this. There seems to be this new almost like backdoor in the sense that if you can show somebody important that right. you're popular,
yes.
that you have a following, that people know you, it's meaningful.
Mm-hmm. I know this for a fact.
Yeah. Now, there's some interesting twist to it, because I think you can buy followers, right?
Right.
Which I think is not the way to go.
No.
Because
they can delete. You could spend $50,000 on a video. I know that someone that this happened to.
Okay.
They spent $50,000 on a video with this big premiere release of the video song, and they obviously were buying YouTube views.
Right.
And YouTube yanked the video.
They had to re-upload it.
They had 5,000 likes. It was horrible for them.
Wow.
So, you know, and not only that, but you don't get the thumbs up. You not only do you want them to, what we do at Atlanta Hollywood is we drive them to watch it, comment,
right.
share it, and subscribe the YouTube. So whatever it is, the specific social media platform, we ask them to actually like that page, comment on some posts. So we're driving people to actually do that.
So, again, that was from the Good Morning Atlanta show on BusinessRadioX.com, and it was a really fun interview. We sort of giggled our entire way through it. It was Kelly Saroy, her daughter, Devin Norton, and their sales and marketing guy, Ian Hathaway. And they're all, like, one degree of separation away from famous people, which is kind of cool. I always like that. So Kelly went to high school with Julia Roberts, and Ian Hathaway is actually related to Anne Hathaway. They're cousins, but I think relatively distant cousins, but they're cousins. So that was kind of fun. And we just laughed all through that interview. It was really a fun episode. So if you want to hear the rest of it, go to goodmorningatlanta.businessradiox.com. But I think it was really interesting, you know, because there is sort of in people's minds, like this idea of sort of being internet famous and sort of, you know, if I can build up X number of fans, X number of hits, X number of Twitter followers, likes, et cetera, that means something. Sometimes it does. And I think doesn't. And so it's an interesting dilemma as you try to build your personal brand or build your business or whatever the case may be on how much money you invest and how much time you invest trying to build up that base. I mean, we've heard stories, I think I've talked about some of them on this show, where people have gotten, you know, deals, big deals, you know, beauty bloggers have gotten deals with big cosmetics companies. And, you know, if you ever watched America's Next Top Model, which I do watch, I'm embarrassed to admit, you know, one of the judges on the panel is a blogger who got on there because of his blog. And so, you know, it does happen that you can sort of jump from being quote unquote famous online to being famous in the real world. But it's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. It, you know, in the show on Good Morning Atlanta, I was almost comparing it to, you know, back in the pre-internet days, we used to talk about the occasional person who would, you know, get discovered in a grocery store in New York or whatever, you know, and they happened, but they were pretty rare, and you couldn't figure out a way to make that happen. It just happened, right? So now you have the ability to pay money to buy social media fans and to buy hits, and you got to wonder sometimes if it's really worth it. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I've got a couple more stories I want to share with you, and I've got some issues that I want to discuss.
Soapbox.
Soapbox coming up after the break. are back. I'm Dana Barrett. This is the Business Radio X Weekend Review. We're just kind of laughing about that last commercial where they're telling you that if you feel sick, you should go to the doctor.
I never knew that.
I know. Well, you know, these are the things you learn when you tune in to 1190 AM. All right, I have like this whole list of headlines that I did not get to, so I'm going to really do something new and different here and try to do them quickly, which is hard for me. But first of all, I don't know if you caught this, but the council, the Atlanta City Council, has approved a plan to invest $30 million in three West Atlanta communities where the new Atlanta Falcons Stadium will be built. Also, though I don't have it printed out, I see that we're thinking about getting Major League Soccer here, too. So I don't know. Keep your eyes peeled for that. I'll get more on that another week. Also, the World Trade Center Atlanta, who is a supporter of the Good Morning Atlanta show on Business Radio X, they were in downtown in the SunTrust building forever and ever and ever, but they have now moved to Buckhead. They are now sharing space with the City Club of Buckhead in the Financial Center, so congratulations to them on that. This is a creepy story. I don't know if you caught this, but the original, one of the original co-founders of Dragon Con, he is no longer affiliated with Dragon Con, by the way, but he has pled guilty to child molestation. Creepy. Okay, let's see. What else? Chick-fil-A, working to remove dyes and high fructose corn syrup from some of their products. It's about time. Also, here's a product I learned about this week that I never heard of. Do you know what Bitcoin is? Have you heard of Bitcoin?
I'm about to find out what that is.
Yeah, I never heard of this, but it's it's like a new currency. It's a digital currency. And it's an Atlanta startup that's doing this, and people use this stuff to buy online. And it actually is kind of like a real currency in that it goes up and down in value, just like the U.S. dollar would or the euro or whatever. And people, I'm not really sure of the point of it, but you put your bitcoins, you store them in digital wallets, you buy them, and you use them to buy products and services. Not really entirely sure I understand the concept fully, so please forgive me for that, and maybe, you know, if you're interested in it, Google Bitcoin and find out more about it. But one of the things I thought was really interesting is that they're planning to sort of start these ATMs where you can walk up and sort of buy your Bitcoin and then use them. And I'm sure there's advantages to using them that I'm not quite picking up on in this story. But the other thing I thought was really interesting about it is that people are saying it's going to be a good way for people to launder money. So they better close that loophole before they go too far. Yeah, that's not good. Another story I found interesting is the designer Isaac Mizrahi, easy for me to say, not Benedict Cumberbatch, but Isaac Mizrahi, has a store coming to Atlanta. But the weird part is that, or maybe it's not that weird, but it's not coming into Buckhead. It's going to Woodstock, okay? To the outlet shops. So I find this a little bit odd on the one hand, because you think of Isaac Mizrahi, he's on TV a lot. You think of him as being sort of a top-end designer. On the other hand, he's had a line at Target. He sort of likes making stuff for everybody, you know, for the regular guy or gal, I guess. And but I think it's interesting that his first store, you know, in Atlanta is going to be in Woodstock, Georgia. I like his clothes, but I can't see myself driving to Woodstock, Georgia to get them. So not entirely sure what that will mean for his brand. And also, I don't know if you caught this story, but I found this interesting. This week there was a story about the Supreme Court possibly taking on a case where a frequent flyer, did you hear this? This frequent flyer, a rabbi actually, I saw it on TV and then I also read about it online, complained too much. He complained too much. And so I think it was Northwest World Perks frequent flyer program decided to take away his frequent flyer miles. And he had a lot of them because he complained too much. And so somehow the case went all the way up to the Supreme Court, not because of him, actually, but because of Northwest. He complained. He sued Northwest, I guess. But then they took it to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court dismissed the case. They're not helping. They're not interested in helping. But the reason I thought it was interesting, I mean, I do think it's probably good that there's no federal Supreme Court level precedent set about what a company can and cannot do with bonuses that they offer you, on the one hand. On the other hand, one of my pet peeves, if you've listened to the soapbox before, is all these constant begging for my opinion online. You know, the minute you make a purchase or even show up on a website, sometimes they're like, would you like to do this survey? Can we ask you some questions about what you think about us? So then here, go ahead. Mike wants to talk.
Security alert. It's not that important.
Yeah, no, but you're right. It's like a constant, like, love me. Tell me how great I am.
I'm good, I promise.
And so then here comes Northwest, and they get this guy who's telling them, who's decided to take them up on that and tell them what he really thinks. And he apparently also did say a lot of good things, but he complained too much, and so they decided, oh, we don't actually want to hear that. And they took his frequent flyer miles away. Shame on them. And all companies, I think, should take note, because that's ridiculous. Completely ridiculous. You want to hear my opinion and then you don't like it if it's bad? Not an option. And speaking of things that irritate me, Mike Roy, I got my cell phone bill in the mail this week, and my cell phone provider adds a little note in my paper bill asking me, and I'm sure you've seen these because they all do it now, asking me to help save paper by switching to their e-bill paperless billing system. Now, the number of pieces of paper in the bill they sent me was like eight pieces of paper. And you know how much information I really needed out of that bill? Like half a page.
That's what we call irony.
Yeah, I mean, like, if I would like to keep getting a paper bill because I'm old-fashioned, and I don't actually care, I get a lot of my bills electronically, but it just caught my attention, because if you really, XYZ phone company, want to save paper, perhaps you should put one piece in a normal-sized envelope, not an oversized, ridiculous...
Just write a little smaller.
Right, exactly.
So you can fit in one piece of paper.
Smaller font, less ads in your bills. Just give me half a page that shows my total and maybe my usage, so maybe you need an extra page for that, but I certainly don't need eight pages for that. I'm on an unlimited plan, so I don't need to know what all my calls were, and maybe put a note in there if you want to know about all your calls, go online. Keep it to one page and let the people who might be a little old-fashioned keep their paperless bill. But you know what? That's not really what they're after. They want to save the money on the postage, but if you are going to get that paper bill, they want to use that space to advertise to you. And maybe they're sending you all that paper because they just want to annoy you. I don't know.
Postage isn't even that expensive either.
I mean, I just don't understand the logic there. I don't. It's ridiculous. Okay. Let me breathe.
I'm definitely with you on that one. That's very ironic.
Stupid.
They send you pages and pages telling you to
save paper. So ridiculous.
We'll just use the paper you sent me.
Right.
For something else.
So ridiculous. Okay. The other thing I want to talk about, I know we're almost out of time here, but it's that time of year for holiday parties. And there's two things I want to bring up quickly before the show is over and I'm out of time. And that is, you know, I always wonder about the logic between throwing a big, delightful holiday party for your employees when you really can't afford it. And I've seen this happen at a lot of companies that I've worked for and that my friends have worked for over time, where a company has come to their employees and said, you know what, we can't give you the Christmas bonus this year that we used to give you, which was like $100 or $200, you know, but we're going to throw this big Christmas party that costs thousands, and we're going to go celebrate together. And you're like, you know what, dude, I think I would have rather had the $100 than the chicken.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm going to take everything that's left over as my bonus, since you're sending thousands of dollars instead of giving it to me as a bonus.
Right. So there's that. And the other thing is, the Christmas party, or the holiday party, as we politically correctly call it now, which also annoys me, is an opportunity for you to really make a fool out of yourself. And I found this great list that I want to read to you. It's kind of like a David Letterman-style list, starting from the number five and working its way up to number one, about things you should avoid doing at the company Christmas party. Number five, don't be seen standing at the buffet with your Tupperware loading up food to take home. Number four, don't hit on the boss's husband or wife. Number three, and even worse, don't go up to the boss's wife and ask if she's his mother. Awkward. Number two, don't drink so much that you end up doing a striptease act on the dance floor or your best impression of the HR manager's lisp. Yikes. And number one, do not under any circumstances go to the company party dressed in any of the following: ripped jeans, your biker boots and a t-shirt expressing your love for illegal substances, a ball gown, a bikini, or a Santa costume. All right, that's our show.
Those are all great, by the way.
That's our show for today. We'll be back next week with more Week in Review. Make sure you tune into all the great programming on BusinessRadioX.com. We'll see you next week.